Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined, as always, by good friends Barnabas Piper and Ronnie Martin. And boys, I'm on a bit of a remote broadcast here today in that I am calling in live from the Villages in a swamp just north of Orlando, Florida, man. This is retirement living at its finest. Billed as a sort of just a sort of paradise to retire to, boys. And I tell you what, it's been an experience, man. It's very, very kind of in M. Night Shyamalan, The Villages-esque, you know, in that you have a lot of people walking around sort of convincing themselves and convincing one another that this is as good as it gets. But
Big Key, are you feeling like if you do an early retirement, this might be it for you? Have you found it? Have you found paradise?
Baby, all kidding aside, there's a pervading kind of sadness here that I can't really put my finger on, man. And I'm trying to kind of tease that out, you know, but I haven't quite figured it out. I think, you know, what's interesting about the Villages, it's kind of retirement for not super creative people.
Is it actually called the Villages?
It's actually called the Villages.
Wow, you're not kidding that it's M. Night. I thought that was like a nickname that you had given it. That's the real.
No, name. Dude, it's M. Night Shyamalan-esque on many levels. In that, you know, it kind of has its own culture. It sort of has its own, you know, kind of literature. You know, this is where death goes to die, fellas. You know, I mean, it's all about being active. It's all about just kind of staving off the reality that, like, in 10 years you're going to be dead, you know?
a lot of dinner at 4:30 and monochrome velour sweatsuits.
Dude, yeah, a lot of that, man. A lot of, yeah, kind of Del Boca Vista-esque for Seinfeld fans.
Yes.
But it's nutty, guys. And I tell you, I just got here 2 days ago, so I'm still kind of getting my head around all of what I'm seeing and experiencing. People drive golf carts down here, so there's golf carts just zooming around, you know.
See, I always think that part sounds kind of mildly like fun, you know.
It does. Yeah. I have absolutely no problem with that part.
But Ronnie, imagine a life where that is the most fun thing you get to do.
Well, dude, but that's...
You know, I have a life. I have a life that might be the most fun thing I get to do.
Yeah, exactly. All three of us are probably arguably living that life already.
Maybe fun is not the right word. How about the most fulfilling thing you get to do?
Okay, yeah. Now we're just getting dark and depressing.
Yeah, dude, it's so easy to go dark and depressed down here, man, just in a heartbeat. So, yeah, I'm going to be writing like the mother of all essays about this when I get back. But, you know, right now it's just recon, man, just research. But... You know, really, I think the pervading or prevailing attitude is like death doesn't exist. You know, it's a place to be active, but it's as though they picked up like whatever kind of boring suburb the person lived in the other part of the country where they came from. Like this is your quintessential just suburban neighborhood. You know, just with lots of golf and swimming pools and, you know, shuffleboard areas, and it's wild, man. And it's also like- the highest rate of sexually transmitted disease per capita anywhere in the country, man. So a bunch of old, baby, it's like Studio 54 in the 70s down here, man.
Wow.
A bunch of crazy old swingers. So,
Big T, you got to be careful while you're down there,
yeah,
man.
No, baby, don't shake hands. Don't, yeah. No fist bumps either. No, none
Dude,
of that.
Dude, I keep a little vial of penicillin, you know, just yeah, ever at the ready. You know?
Grab Holiness by J.C. Ryle and start just manically reading the chapters, man.
Dude, yeah, I never go anywhere without my lady down here.
Absolutely.
You know? Get jumped by some old cougar.
Oh, seriously. It's insane, boys. Well, interestingly enough, our topics today, I think, have a little bit to do with this idea of kind of contriving experiences or contriving emotions. So this is a good lead in. But before we get to that pipe, we have some business to take care of. And by business, I mean, it's raining sponsors this week. We have two sponsors. So why don't you tell us about them?
Well, guys, you know who did not retire to a lame community of swingers?
Who?
Jerry Bridges did not.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I've not run into Jerry Bridges down here. I can well, safely say that.
Part of that could be because he passed away recently. But,
That was in bad taste.
Mark, cut that segment. Cut that
Actually,
segment, Mark Owens.
No, because here's the thing. When a classic Christian author passes away, it is a good reminder of the life that they spent. So NAV Press is our first sponsor, and two of the books that they wanted to highlight are both Jerry Bridges books. The first is The Practice of Godliness, which is a classic. You brought up Holiness by Ryle. This is akin to that in terms of sort of the classic work on spiritual disciplines, on walking with the Lord. And the other is The Blessing of Humility. And I had a chance to meet Jerry Bridges a couple different times, just at publishing conventions and the like. And for somebody who is sort of an icon of the Christian faith, he was about as grounded and humble and kind a person as you can imagine. He and J.I. Packer are both sort of just that. They're everything you hope they would be when you meet them. So Practice of Godliness and The Blessing of Humility from NAV Press, go pick those up. They've re-released them, repackaged them. The content is the same, but just sort of refresh the look so that you don't feel like you're reading a really old book, because that aesthetics matter to people, I guess. Speaking of aesthetics, our second sponsor is Missional Wear, and they do all sorts of aesthetically pleasing stuff for... Well, really, since Father's Day is coming up, it should probably be a gift thing. That's probably why our listeners should get this stuff. They specifically wanted us to highlight their posters and their wall hangings, which are not like they're not like inspirational posters. They're actually pretty cool. Like, pastors would be proud to have these hanging on the wall of an office, or not pastors if you're just inclined. So they have various designs of like the five solas. They have Jonathan Edwards and Martin Luther and John Calvin and Charles Spurgeon prints. They have them leaning more artsy and more plain and more feminine and more masculine. They've kind of got them all over the map. And some of these are actually the email sign-offs we talked about a couple weeks ago, Ted.
Nice.
I see a Soli Deo Gloria on here.
Mm. The poster is actually just a giant email.
Yeah, they just cut the signature. Oh, this one, we've got a Jonathan Edwards Resolutions one. So, resolved, I will live for God. If no one else does, I still will. That would actually make a really good email sign-off. We've got the classic Jim Elliot quote. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. But they have a special for our listeners, and that is if you use the code HAPPYRANT at checkoff, you get $10 off a purchase of $50 or more. So basically a 20% discount, $10
nice.
Off $50 purchase. That's the code HAPPYRANT, and that's missionalware.com. They have all sorts of other stuff too. They have pint glasses with different designs and quotes. They have coffee mugs. They have shirts, t-shirts, sweatshirts, etc. And they keep coming out with new designs all the time and do some really good stuff. So check them out. They are a regular sponsor for us and will be over the next several months. So we'll keep highlighting stuff, but specifically check out those posters and get dad or husband or boyfriend or whatever something cool for Father's Day. So missionalware.com, go check that out.
Baby, is there going to be some Happy Rant gear in our future, like a fat head? Where you could get like a Barnabas Piper like wall hanging.
They do wall hangings like that, sort of that fathead style. We need to check that out. We are in discussions with them to do something uniquely cool for the live event in October. So
high level discussions.
Yes. So that's just a little tease for listeners. If you think you might want to be at that, there may be some very awesome swag in your future.
It's high-level business stuff. Listeners, we won't bore you with the details and all the percentage points and the negotiating that happens on this level in media and entertainment.
I mean, at some point, Ronnie's just going to take the Mission Aware folks into a boardroom, lock the door, and they're not coming out until a deal is struck.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is high-level power lunching is what it's going to be.
Two words, legal pad. Yeah. I scribble a figure. I slide it across the table, you know.
And just remember, Ronnie, coffee is for closers.
I understand.
Ooh.
Who do you think you're talking to right now? I understand.
ABC, Ronnie. ABC.
Boys, I spent yesterday at Disney World.
I'm sorry.
I know. Which honestly is for me, I think the most miserable place on earth, man. It's hot. It's packed pillar to post with the general public. But the reason I bring this up, it's all about sort of contriving a feeling, right? So this whole thing is packaged and sold on the idea that you're creating a memory for your family, you're creating a memory for your kids. You know, it's going to be the most special day of their childhood or whatever. And my kids definitely enjoyed it, but I think my kids enjoy it more when I like take them to work and they get to roam around campus and they're like, "Dad, we found 6 frogs." You know, like those are the things they get super stoked about. And yesterday, I mean, this is the biggest racket in American business. The idea that like you pay this ungodly amount of money to stand in line in the heat all day and do like 4 things. But the point being, it's all about this sense of contriving a feeling. And today we've got listener suggested topics. They're all great. And the first one I want to talk about is all these graduation ceremonies that are popping up in life. So your kid, quote unquote, graduates from 6th grade, meaning he passes 6th grade and moves to 7th grade.
He did the required thing.
He did the requirement. He did a little bit of long division. You know, he did a little bit of, you know, diagramming sentences or whatever they do in 6th grade. And they have this big ceremony and there's this, you know, cap and gown situation. Boys, what do you make of this, man? What's going on here culturally that, you know, that this is a thing, that we're contriving all these ceremonies to sort of make people feel a certain way?
Yeah, Digar,
what's your take on that?
Well, man, I don't know. It goes back to it kind of reminds me of this whole culture of, you know, we with kids' sports, where like everybody gets a trophy, everybody gets an award. I think it feels like somehow it's connected to that, to where we have to celebrate everything. Like it's right. Okay. So here's an example. I noticed that like parents now, like they have this, they incessantly say good job to their kids. Mm. So number one, they call them buddy every other word. And number two, I mean the kid literally like walks up the stairs and they say good job. You know what I mean? Like kid does anything. The kid grabs his bagel, takes a bite, chews it, swallows it. Good job, yeah. Buddy. And I just think it goes back to this thing where we're like trying so hard to like affirm our kids with like every little thing.
It's
that
like
they
perpetual
do.
Potty training.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I don't know. There's something in that I haven't explored because I haven't had a toddler for a while, or an elementary, you know, age kid. But there's something in that to where I've been thinking about it more, ironically enough. And I'm not sure what that is and why that is. So I don't know, Piper. What do you got on that?
I agree with everything you just said, and you said it very well, the good job buddy phenomenon. And I find myself wrestling with it as a parent because I have young kids. So I have a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they both graduated from their grades this year.
Congrats.
I know.
From the show. Congratulations.
When are you guys going to be able to make the open house is the question.
Yeah, we'll try.
I'll be there. We may send a gift.
We'll be catering in Chick-fil-A and celebrating an advancement to 2nd and 5th grades respectively.
Well, baby, that's huge. I mean,
that is big. That's
I mean, if they didn't
you'll
do this.
You'll never forget this.
If they didn't do this, I mean, I don't know. This is memory making is really what this is.
Absolutely.
But I feel like I'm a bad parent if I do not congratulate my kids for stuff that I'm not impressed with. You know, like eating their bagel, for example. Like, I don't feel like my kids need congratulations for finishing their dinner.
Yeah, or, I agree.
Or for, you know, they deserve congratulations when they work hard on a project and they earn a good grade. They deserve congratulations if they work hard and the grade is not what they hope for, but they really put themselves into it. And I guess that's the thing that I tried to do is I tried to congratulate them for effort and for taking on challenges and taking risks and things like that. But like I'm not impressed with when my kids say, "Hey, Dad, watch this," and then they're like Stewart from Mad TV, where they like jump up in the air and flail their arms and they're like, "Watch me." And I don't, do they need a good job for that? It's just kind of like, great, you jumped. And I feel like a jerk when I don't do it because other parents are so effusively praising of their kids. We're so proud of our child for passing kindergarten. Like, they don't do anything in kindergarten.
Right.
You need to know the alphabet and how to count to 20 to get out of kindergarten. I think maybe tie your shoes. Like that's a low bar to clear. Why do we – I don't understand
I mean,
the effusive praise of that.
Is it just part of sort of like – I don't know. Maybe we can like – maybe we can draw this back to the church. I don't think it's just in the church. I see it most – I see it most in the church. But sure. Just sort of like making – you know, kind of this kid's centrality.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
to where
absolutely.
It's, and part of it, I think we draw kind of a we kind of draw like a biblical precedent into it, which is like, man, we're affirming them. And we're not being like parent – we're not being like, you know, the world's greatest generation that just never said anything and just made us go out there and grit our teeth and pull up our sleeves and – get it
start
done just like they did.
When you're 9 years old.
Start digging ditches because that's what I had to do in World War II. So it's exactly. Like let's not do that. You know, let's show the love that we didn't get from the prior right. generation. Like, I don't know, is that kind of what's going on? Like, what's been obviously there's a simple answer to this if we go, you know, a little more deep into like the heart condition of it. But like right. What is it? What is
I,
it exactly?
I think there's a preponderance of like the child psychology stuff too, the whole sort of this is the next generation of the self-esteem movement, so sure. I need right. to love myself before I can love anybody else, obviously, and so yeah. I need to make my kids know that they're super super special, even yeah. though even if I'm praising them for stuff that just isn't special at all.
Yeah.
You know, graduating from first grade is not special, it's expected. And what's that,
dude? Let me ask you this. Do you say – you've had kids in sports, right?
Yeah.
Like your girls have played soccer and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you say good game when they clearly didn't try their hardest and didn't have a good game?
The reason I ask, man,
I had a huge fight with Tristan over this like 2 years ago where he had a game, a football game, where he just dogged it. For whatever reason, he didn't try. He was out of it. And when he came off the field, I didn't say good job and I didn't say good game. And we just kind of rode back to the house in like stony silence, and everyone in the car was noticing it. And like, you know, my wife was uncomfortable, and I was just like, I'm not going to say good job if he didn't put out any effort. He didn't do a good job.
Right. I feel like that's, I try to pick out something to say, hey, I saw you did well there, and yeah. use it as a yeah. lesson on how they didn't do well all the other times. You know, if okay. it's a game like yeah. that. I mean, if it's a game they play well, I'm, you know, it's high sure. fives and congratulations and whatever else. But if, absolutely. Yeah, if there's a game where they're just like staring at the sky or they're just dogging it or whatever,
yeah,
yeah, I'm not going to be like, you did great. I'm going to say, hey, there was that great play where you stopped, you know, you played great defense, you stopped the other team. But you didn't do that every time. Like you just sort of walked around out there and try to like, I don't know, make an object lesson out of it, because I want them to learn that success, especially in competitive things, comes from busting your tail, not
that's
from,
right. There's
not
a
from
price
showing
to
up
it.
And wearing a uniform.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Guys, yeah. I think we need to bring in like mandatory playground fights again or something. Like
oh,
just
baby, I love that.
Like just kids getting beat up and then coming back and like you guys saying, hey, this is kind of how you throw a punch. I mean, like I remember there used to be sitcoms like about that kind of thing. Can you even imagine absolutely. That happening now? Like, okay, teach me how to fight, Dad. Teach me how to fight. You know,
this is we're going far afield from the original question. But you brought up playground fights, and so I. Yeah. My daughter came home. I'm going to get raked over the coals by some sensitive parent for this. So here's the trigger warning.
Yeah, whatever, man. We got your back.
So my daughter comes home from school a couple weeks ago, and she's not crying, but she's really distraught because some kid at school was – I mean, he basically threatened her. He's like, I hate you, and I hope you're dead.
Wow.
And I looked her in the face, and I said, what did you do? And she said, I didn't want a tattletale on him, so I didn't do anything. And I said, here's two things you can do. If somebody ever threatens you, you tell somebody in authority or you knock them on their back. I said, she said, I'll get in trouble. I said, I do not care. If the teacher sends you home from school, I will talk to the teacher and say, that was my call. And
yeah.
she's defending herself because nobody else will. And I don't want to teach my kids to be fighters, like in terms of being violent or certainly not bullying. But if somebody
dude, Pipe's raising Ronda Rousey over there, man.
but if somebody says I hate you and I want you to be dead, I'm perfectly yeah. fine with my daughter, you know, kicking him in the nuts or knocking him on his back or pushing him out of his chair or whatever it is, because that's a threat. But like that, their school environment is such where that's just anathema. Like any act of aggression is seen
yeah.
as
yeah.
as
yeah.
absolutely forbidden.
Dude, I really see the happy rant as campaigning now for mandatory playground fighting. I will not vote for any candidate that does not promote that from this
dude, there
point
you
on.
Go, man. That's our platform, playground fights. That's
yeah.
what we're hanging our hat on as a program.
I don't even remember what the original question was. I'm just saying – some mandatory playground fights now.
Baby, you know, listen to me. You know what I know now? The title of Pipe's next book, Knock Them on Their Back.
Subtitle, or kick them in the nuts.
Or kick them in the nuts.
Help me knock them on their back.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
A father's guide to raising daughters, because clearly right. I'm the best at this.
Exactly. Crazy. I love it. Speaking of people raising things, and guys, maybe the three of us would have been better parents if we'd
been mothers.
If we'd had dogs and treated them like children. Because this is a thing now.
It is.
Pipe, set this up for us, man. Where did this come from?
Well, this was a listener suggestion, and this is something that I've seen more of, but it's the new reality of people having pets, specifically dogs. But I think cat people have been crazy for forever. Dog people are now entering the cat people realm where they call themselves like, this is my baby. You know, they're the doggy daddy or the doggy mommy. It's kind of like being a baby mama, except a doggy mama. And,
minus the sex.
Let's hope. Let us hope. I don't know what goes on down in the villages, though. So,
Dude, it's crazy down here, man. It's crazy. You have no idea.
Yeah. So all sorts of doggy daddies down there. But then there's like doggy grandparents, and like, so people's parents are buying into this whole thing too. And so pets have replaced children in an ironic way, even though children are the most valuable asset in our society, and we praise them for doing stuff they're supposed to do.
Dude, now in a way, does this involve – I want to suss this out a little more. Are we talking about like putting a shirt on the dog? You know what I mean? Like putting a little sweater on it? Is that part of this?
Well, I mean, it's –
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's part of it. There's bumper stickers. You know, there's –
let me
like
answer you and say yes.
Okay.
Do you say this from personal experience, Ronnie?
Dude, no, of course. Seriously, I'm going to quit the broadcast now. I mean, yeah. No,
oh, wait,
it's
you're
just
a cat person. I forgot.
Dude, well, no, but cat people. I've never put a shirt on a cat.
But do people
good
do
luck
cat,
putting
people
a
do
shirt
the same
on
thing
a
with cats? For sure, it doesn't matter. It's just this whole thing. Like I remember having a conversation with a dude, and we're like talking about our kids, and he's like talking about his son, and I find out later it was a dog the whole time. And
really?
I'm like, dude,
what was the kid's name?
I don't even remember it. I'm like, dude, that's not your son. That's your dog, brother. I mean, like, what do we? It's insane. It's and like he was serious. There was no irony to it.
There's a distinct tie between the size of the dog and the outsized affection. Like, the larger the dog, the more normal the dog owner.
Absolutely. This is all small pets.
The smaller the dog, the greater the insanity. Because those are the ones that you can, like, people put these things in strollers. I say things because I'm not certain they're actually dogs. They're barking rodents. They put them in strollers. They carry them on planes with them, and they annoy the entire flight. Look, I will sit behind a screaming baby and have great empathy for the parents. If I'm sitting behind a barking dog, I want to shoot the owner first and maybe the dog, but I bet I can get the dog to be quiet. And it's ridiculous. Their lives center around the pets. I've had people cancel on me saying, you know, I can't come to whatever because I don't have anybody to, you know, let the dog out for the afternoon or whatever.
Baby,
you're
kidding me. People have literally canceled plans for that.
Oh, yeah. You guys, that's happened to me many, many times. That's not a lie. There's no joke with that. Yeah, Pipe's on point with that. Yeah.
I can't travel to this thing because the dog sitter fell through.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Oh, we're all going to get in so much trouble for this one. Yeah. I mean, this is out of control. I mean,
this is a prophetic voice right here, Ronnie. We are speaking truth into the darkness on this one.
We are.
And guys, it's hard to do that. It's hard to speak truth into a culture that doesn't want to hear that. I know because I grew up in the 90s with Rage Against the Machine.
Hallelujah.
That was kind of their whole experience. So
you do what they told you. I mean, we know what you're talking about, Big T.
Right, I know you know.
Now you do what they
about,
told you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now we need to speak some truth into this dog issue, right?
Bulls on parade, man. That's
bulls
what
on dogs
about.
On parade.
No, correct.
Get him out of the sweater. Get him out of the stroller and treat him like the animals that they are.
Okay, so let's give some practical advice. Where is the line for what it's okay to like what it's okay to buy your pet? What it's okay to the amount of time you spend with them, the amount of money you spend on them. So like I think a dog bed is okay as long as it's basically like a pillow.
Like a pillow. It's a pillow.
Here's my answer, guys. Here's
my
answer.
It's thrown in the corner.
Right.
Big R, yeah, what do you got?
Food, leash. Yeah. Period.
Food. Not even water. Leash. You know what? Let them find their own water.
You know what? Last time I checked, you can go outside and find water. You know what I mean? Last time I checked, you know, that's possible.
You can also use like an empty, Cool Whip container and just run some out of the faucet for them, and that doesn't actually cost anything extra.
All right, I will allow for that.
And when it comes to food, though, you do not need like the canned fancy feasts for your little yapping rodent. Just get them like kibbles and bits. That does the trick just fine.
Dude, you know what I got one time? I got a Christmas letter. You know those horrible Christmas letters about your family and what everybody's up to?
Yeah.
And one time
I do those every year as a joke, but go on.
I got one written from the perspective of the family dog.
Oh. Did you keep that, Big T? Did you keep
I wish I had it on me.
Because you could read it right now.
I could read it. I don't know where it is, Big R. I don't know the whereabouts of it.
We can all imagine what it said, though, so I think we're with you.
If it didn't involve the phrase, I spend the majority of my time fantasizing about sniffing crotches, then it's not really from the dog's perspective. Exactly. If it doesn't use the phrase humping a leg, then it's not really from the dog's perspective. It is a fully...
Humping a leg, that's the title of Barnabas's dog parenting book. Out on Nav Press, July 2017. Hey,
would Gut Check publish something about this? Like
humping a leg?
Yeah,
we do humping a leg. Consider yourself in negotiations with Gut Check.
And knock them on their back.
Knock them on their back, followed by humping a leg.
This is going to be a controversial episode.
We're really violent, man. We're like pro violence on this podcast, is what we're saying.
We are.
I'm trying to flesh out the honesty of the dog's perspective on this.
Because the implications of this dog thing, exactly. So,
guys, we want our kids and our animals to have their perspective place in society. I think is what we're saying.
Let's be clear, kids are above dogs. But also below God.
Like you give water to the kids.
In a sense that you don't
give water to the dog. You let him forage around for it. But with the kids, you give him some water.
Piper, okay. That's the title, man. Above dogs, below God. I mean, that's the money right there. That is the money.
That is the money.
That just broke American society, Ronnie. That was
above dogs, below God. A guide to parenting your child.
A guide to parenting with perspective.
A guide to parenting pet and child with perspective. I think we got a subtitle.
You don't parent pets.
A guide to parenting your children and what?
Owning your pet.
Owning your pets. Yeah. Nav Press, July 27th.
Yeah, you raise children, you own pets. My mom pointed this out to me. She said it used to be that you owned a dog, then you rescued a dog. Now you adopt a dog.
Oh.
She was not real thrilled that the same terminology is used for pets as was used when my little sister joined our family and actually became a family member and is raised as a child, not a pet.
Guys, so, I'm speaking at some dog adoption conferences later this year at some mega churches, man. Is that bad? Should I rethink that?
Hold on. I just want to make sure the book's out before then, so let me finish this proposal really quick for Barnabas.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we going to get like doggy orphan care movements?
Dude, we are. We're going to get little bracelets and t-shirts.
Hello, I love you part two.
Can Tom's start a pet division so that every time I buy a pair of shoes, a dog gets a little pair of booties or a sweater or something?
The dog gets a little pair of canvas flats.
Like yeah.
Four little canvas shoes.
Tom's dog booties, right? I think that'll go in with the promo for your new book, Barnabas. I think that'll go really well.
That's cross marketing, Big R. I like where your head's at.
We can probably put in a pet color, adult coloring book somewhere in the mix. You know that.
I love it, boys. We got to get Big R out of here, man, because he's a busy man. He's a mover and shaker. He has high-priced coffees to drink and meetings to have in that space.
But coffee is for closers, Ronnie. Coffee is for closers.
I understand.
Keep it in mind.
Now, if you were a dog owner, would you get your dog a little latte, a little hipster coffee?
That's a question I want addressed, Piper, in your book.
We need that sussed out, I think, because, yeah, if you're going to have all your high-end coffees –
Yeah,
you know, I why feel like don't your they? Dog needs a little, he needs a little bowl of like fair trade, you know, pumpkin spice latte of his own.
What about mandatory playground fights for your pets? I mean, do we sort of do a little cross-pollinization with that?
Dude, it's pre – okay, Michael Vick.
Can I have my children fight somebody else's shih tzu? That's the
You know
question.
What? Now I'm offended. Now I'm
yeah.
offended.
Yeah, too far, Pipe. Too far.
Oh, sorry. Is that animal abuse or is that child abuse? I can't tell.
I don't even know. Boys, it seems crazy. It just seems a madness to navigate away from this topic. I feel like we're doing such good work here, man. We've come up with so many good future.
Our sponsors will be so proud.
The sponsors will be thrilled to be attached with this episode, as they always are. The last thing I want to talk about for a couple minutes, guys, is using tracts. So using these little booklets to do evangelism. This is another listener question. Our listeners are so great about sending in good questions via Twitter, and this was one of them. Should people use tracts, or how should people use tracts to do evangelism?
For a little context, the person who sent this in posted it to our Twitter feed with a photograph, and the actual question was, should people use tracts for evangelism like this person did by leaving them in the Walmart bathroom?
Wow. Oh,
goodness.
So that is one way to go about soul winning, I guess.
Signed, I feel like, Jack Chick.
I feel like the Walmart bathroom is literally the saddest place on earth. There's no more desolate, bleak, awful place. So that if you're ever going to need a tract, it's there. You know, I think in a weird, perverse way, it's actually a good move.
Yeah,
Big
but
T,
I mean,
that was an incredible statement you make. The most depressing place on earth.
Think about it, Big R. Is there a sadder place than a Walmart bathroom?
I mean, I'm thinking of like Haiti right now, like post all the destruction. But no, but you're saying no. In fact, Martin, it's
CIA black sites. Like they actually model them after Walmart.
Dude, that's right. They put you in a Walmart bathroom with a little bare light bulb until you crack.
They fly in a series of large rednecks to befoul the place before they bring in prisoners.
Oh. All right, so here's my take, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to know, so I'm going to ask a question first, and I'm going to give my take. I want to know, like, when we talk about tracts, like, I haven't seen tracts since the glory, and I mean glory days of Chick tracts from the 70s and 80s, all those apocalyptic, like, you know, the
Dude,
devil.
Chicky, with,
yeah.
He owned it. He owned that marketplace. I can't even think of a parallel. You know what I mean? He was like the Jay-Z of the track business.
Oh, he was the Jay-Z and the Beyonce of track business.
He was the
Jay-Z
and the Beyonce of the track business.
But, dude, here's what's crazy, right? So my pops literally – so my mom was saved a year before my dad. My dad literally had his moment of – I'm not lying, fellas. All right,
no,
so roll
okay,
with
man,
me on
we're
this.
Listening. We're listening.
My dad had his moment of repentance and belief with the Lord in a phone booth. A phone booth is one of these like metal contraptions where you used to like go in and pick up a telephone and call people. And had his moment. He had his moment of regeneration after reading a Chick track in a phone booth at LAX. No lie. That was his conversion story.
And
baby, that's wild.
And that is why it is so difficult to have this conversation, because the majority of tracts are absurd. And how people hand them out is ridiculous. I mean, it's like carpet bombing with the gospel, or at least some pseudo gospel. And yet there are probably thousands and thousands of stories like that, which the question is, I guess, does the ends justify the means?
Well, Piper, I was gonna tell you, so with that, like knowing the story about my dad and all of that, you know, the bottom line is that I've never used a track. even because my pops has that story, like Big R here has never used tracks as part of, you know, my personal evangelism tool. I've never gone there. I've never done it.
Dude, what a hipster ever use a tract? And if so, what would a hipster tract look like?
Well, I think that's the question, is can there be hipster tracts? And have you just literally talked about something that we need to pitch to missional wear in terms of like next level, next generational, like hipster tracts, like literally like carved out and printed on like little like wood squares, right?
Little wood squares with like a drill press.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. It has to be reclaimed urban wood, however, it doesn't count.
Reclaimed urban wood. And like some leather, we can like pound it
absolutely
into some leather.
Yeah, we'll have Saddleback connect with missional wear.
It may be cost prohibitive because normally they're printed on like just north of newsprint. So right, the whole handcrafted thing may limit the distribution a little bit.
Maybe
the
we sell them. Maybe sell them to unbelievers, and we say, here, maybe you want to buy this and
you
learn about the gospel.
It's $86. But it's really going to change your life.
The gospel is free, but this tract clearly is not, my
friend. Really, the aesthetic of the tract.
In,
really
in all seriousness, with the trend towards all things retro, so the re-rise of vinyl, the fact that everybody dresses like they live in the Depression, like all of those things, people like, you know, the people like the tactile as opposed to all things digital. And that's – I could see a publishing company coming out with a line of tracts that actually does make some hay in certain communities. Now they would have to be more like topical things, you know. So like what about the existence of God, about gay marriage, about whatever it is. But I could see that happening as long as the graphic designer who does it is really good
and
actually working. I mean, in terms of people in using them.
Like, it's the content, man. It's actually, man, now that we're talking about it, you know what's crazy? It's crazy that somebody hasn't done what you're saying and done, like, reformed tracts. Like, tracts.
Some people have. So Crossway Books was founded as Good News Publishers before it ever became – so it was Good News Publishers before the Crossway Books division was born. I think that was in, like, the 70s. But it was founded in, like, the 40s or 50s, and it was entirely a tract and literature ministry. And that still goes on. And so they're taking – they're very reformed books, you know, so books by like my dad and Kevin DeYoung and others, and turning those into tracts.
Tracts.
So you can get like
telling me Crossway is doing Kevin DeYoung tracts?
I wouldn't swear to Kevin DeYoung. I know
Big
they do.
Big T, calm down, man.
These have got to be collector's items. Like, where do you get these things?
You can get a Don't Waste Your Life tract. You can get a Why Jesus Died for the World tract. So, like, these – or, you know, so these kinds of things. Or at least you could a couple years ago. I think they're still doing those. And those are – I mean, those are theological content. Those are you know, it's not a turn or burn kind of thing.
Yeah, but guys, you know why tracts aren't happening? Like we've really the whole missional thing shifted into the fact that tracts don't promote relationship.
Right.
So there's this idea that says it's kind of a one and done thing where it's like, hey man, I met you, I said, hey, what's up? I drop a tract like in your palm and I'm out and I'm never going to see you again.
What if they put Kevin DeYoung's phone number on the tract?
Well, that would be different.
It's right up his alley.
So what I was going to say is when Happy Rant goes into our, you know, when we release our line of tracts, we're going to have all of our personal information on those things.
Yeah, mailing address, phone number.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because Ted is such an extroverted, chatty guy who just...
Yeah, I just want to be in a relationship with all kinds of people that I don't know.
He wants to be on the phone with everybody.
Absolutely. Right. I love being on the phone.
Well, that's why he went to the Villages right now. I mean, that's what you're doing, right? With your time, with all your spare time there.
Baby, in about 5 minutes, I got shuffleboard. I got a little bocce later.
Do you have your tracts? I mean, do you have your tracts prepared for those?
I got my Reformed tracts. You know, you have to have a PhD to read them because they came from Crossway. But you know, I'm going to leave them around and just see what happens.
Right. They're going to be talking about like imputation and propitiation. And all.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder. I bet missional wear could put out a killer five solos tract.
You know what? This is what I'm going to advocate right now. Missional Wear needs to put out a line of reform tracts written by the three of us from the Rant. Distribute them. I mean, I think we're talking. This is like we're like discussing hit singles right now. We are.
Yeah, we're doing high level business, man. The ideas are just literally flying out of us.
They are. They're flowing like mud right now, Big T.
Mm. Isn't this exciting, Big R? Doesn't this harken back to some of those evenings that we spent in Fort Wayne?
You know, it does.
The Manhattan of Northeast Indiana.
I'm just sad that Barnabas couldn't have been there for all of that.
Oh,
you know?
I know. Those were magical times, man. Oh, magical times.
Incredible.
Yeah,
to think
amazing.
About. Now Barnabas knows what it's like when you guys talk sports.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, boys, we've done what we always do on this program. We've wandered to and far, to and fro. We've solved a lot of problems. I feel like we're kind of on a hot streak, man.
Yeah, I think everybody's a better parent and pet owner for having listened to this.
Absolutely, and a better evangelist, maybe even too.
Oh, 100%.
As soon as we get them their reformed tracts, they will be anyhow.
Correct.
Absolutely. So yeah,
not a minute before that, boys.
That's right. No, you wait for the proper resource before you tell anybody about Jesus.
I feel like we've launched two or three new products for missional wear. So, guys, you're welcome. We'll be in touch. Our people will be in touch with your people. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
Do you ever hear sayings make their way through the culture and the church that seem nice in theory, but are actually theologically problematic? My name is Shara Donahue, and I'm the host of The Bible Never Said That, a podcast where we examine these popular sayings under the lens of biblical truth. We cover sayings like, God won't give you more than you can handle, time heals all wounds, and follow your heart. We also spend time exploring how people use Bible verses out of context. If you want to grow in discernment and truth, join us and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.